This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Okay, we are live. Hi, this is William Ramsey. Welcome to William Ramsey Investigates. On today's show, I have a very special guest, returning guest. His name is Dr. Hans Utter. Last name is spelled U-T-T-E-R. If you've listened to my show, I've been discussing a lot of different subjects with him, some with Sean McCann at times. But we did an 8-part series, and you'll see that if you're watching this on YouTube, X, or Rockfin. You'll see that the full title is MK Ultra, Music is the Weapon. From Manson to the Technotronic Control State. And so that's set aside in 8 full, almost all of them are 90 minutes or more in duration. So there's a lot of listening there, a lot of great information, very unique information that sets him apart from so many other researchers. But today we're going to do a part 2. And the title of this one is Advanced Soviet Research on Cybernetics, Biofield Energetics, and Cognitive Restructuring. We talked about a bunch of different stuff we were talking about in the first one, and we're going to follow kind of on those themes. And he has some slides. We barely got through any of the slides last time we talked, but I'm delighted to have him back. So Dr. Hans Utter, welcome back to the show.
William, great to be here. And oh, let me get my water bottle out of the shot there. But yeah, it's great to be back and continue this. I think will prove to be a pretty very interesting topic. It is there's so many different, you know, dimensions to it, so I'll try not to get too far afield in the background, but you know, the background is very, very important also, especially with current geopolitical things that are going on. And the whole mythos of the Cold War, right? And it, which we may, you know, touch upon as we go further in, but the fact is that the Cold War, you have a large scale infiltration of leftist, socialist, whatever you want to call it, going back to, you know, look at H.G. Wells, right? New World Order. I mean, generally speaking, you have people that are elites, right? They're sitting around in their manor house and talking about, you know, revolution. And so you get these, but it's the fact is that there was a tremendous amount of direct infiltration that went on starting in the 1920s, even in the United States. And the fact is that the whole, we'll talk about the Bolshevik Revolution a bit, but the whole, that was completely supported by the West, right? And also the fact is that they were, the whole thing would have collapsed if we had not been sending them huge, massive shipments of food, of everything else. The whole country was an absolute basket case. So who supported it? It was the, you know, United States and Western Europe. And then with the Cold War, there's a nuancing is that not everybody, maybe 5%, 10% of people in control positions are part of the sort of the, you look at that, the symbol of Russia, which is a two-headed eagle, right? So that's exactly where you have communism and you have capitalism, but actually it's the same bird, right?
They're right. Part it's of still same. Imperial Russia. It's never really changed, right?
Yeah, it's still, it's, but I mean, what I'm saying is that the Cold War was, you know, in a lot of, even though on, there were many people that were staunch, you know, anti-communists, but you have such a huge level of infiltration. And in fact, that it allowed a great deal of experimentation and also of, you know, creating this panic state of we're going to have a nuclear war, et cetera, et cetera. And so maybe 95% of the people believed in it, but people knew at the top that this is the same process that's being moved from different angles. But one of the reasons that, you know, that Russia is, we'll get into in a second here, is you very unique country and very important. So it was, you know, to take that country sort of out of the picture, or put it in, you know, have it sort of in as a controlled entity, so to speak, was a really important method to steer human history, right? There, because if you look at all the levels of technological advances that were happening around even, you know, 19th century, you know, early 20th century, I mean, there was a tremendous amount of stuff that was happening. There's technologies, even, let's say, rural rife, like this frequency healing stuff, that there's stuff that's more advanced than what we have now. And there's also a lot of things that were airships. Free electricity, you know, the whole airships, right? The airships were one of the best ways to travel. There was a lot of things. Look at the architecture. You can go back and see the shift of these really amazing, in the United States, you go and see some of these, the buildings that are built at a certain period, and then just the absolute decline. And so there was a real peak of stuff, and the whole world could have gone in an absolutely different direction, but it didn't. And my last little thing for my intro is that what we see now is these plans are not new, as you know, we sort of hit a bit on last time, but a lot of this stuff, even with the COVID rollout or with everything that's going on right now, a lot of this stuff was already planned back in the 1910s, 1920s, 1930s. And so, but the one thing that may give a bit of hope, depending on where, I don't know if there's probably some, you know, elite globalists watching the show. Hey, Elon Musk, send me a million. I can deal with it. But one thing I just want to note real quick is that if you look at the intellectual level of the elite, so to speak, right? Even you look at, say, I don't know, Paul Warburg, you look at, you know, Jacob Schiff, you look at Brzezinski, you look at, you have people with very high levels, high intellectual capacity, right?
Yeah.
And also great strategic planning. Now look, show me in the elites right now, or who are pushing this agenda with even a fraction of that, right? So I think what we have is the plan is still unfolding, but the level, the acumen of those doing it is much less. And also you have the arrogance that it's a fait accompli. They think there's no pushback. So I think that the level of, even though the plan is ongoing, things are unfurling, you know, going to the ultimate, the 6G global brain, everyone's fused into the human hive mind, which you find the book We, which is a precursor, say, written before 1984, all this stuff. I don't think they don't have the nuance. They don't have the subtlety. They have the arrogance. They have all these resources. I think they have a lot of legalistic and technological power, of course, but the this understanding and is not there. So I don't know if that gives people hope or not, but
you can just look at John Kerry and Al Gore as examples. They are offspring. They're kind of the American fuddy-duddies, you know, elite offspring who are pushing this. Gore is BSing this whole climate change. And those are the kind of leading lights, the elites, but they're empty suits, man. I mean, they really are. Compared to Lenin or Stalin or some of these other guys, Trotsky, these guys were brilliant, man. Really smart guys. Doesn't mean they'd made decisions that were pretty horrifying, but yeah, they were very well read and express themselves very well, at least Stalin for sure.
Well, they also had a much deeper understanding of the world, a much more nuanced understanding. And of course, it must be clearly understood that you want to see the roots of a lot of this stuff. It's the theory of evolution and Marxism, which I may have mentioned last time. The theory of evolution is an essential component of this. This goes to the British aristocracy and this very clear idea that there are superior beings and everyone else is inferior. And how do you get enough work done that you can have it, you have your power and control? You want to have enough level of intelligence. You want to have a certain group of people that can run the factories or do this or that, but you want to basically have a complete absolute slave class. And so this whole theory of evolution with this materialistic, Marxism, you have dialectical materialism, right. This whole concept was taken to heart by so many people. Right. And even atheism. OK, there's no God. Everything just happened. Well, there's no evidence. There's not a single actual piece of evidence for the theory of evolution. Not one. There's except for stuff there was a bunch of, kind of forgeries and this and that. It doesn't mean that species
built down man or all that.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, this I don't want to get too wacky. I mean,
one of the interesting things, you can draw a line between the theory of evolution and ufology, because it's almost like a fraud built on a fraud built on a fraud. So you have the original kind of non-scientific, ascent of man, and then just people building on that for whatever reason. And the UFO is a lot like the same. You just go through and parse through some of the stories. They're baloney. Not all of them. There's people think they're experiencing stuff, but there's a lot of problems there.
Well, one of the things that's interesting is the whole thing with the dinosaurs, right? So how many of the dinosaurs are actually real, right? A lot of these were constructed. They took different types of bones and put them together. There was no, how come nobody before the theory of evolution came out, how come nobody had found dinosaurs before, right? How come it wasn't? And so that whole thing, it's potential that this is all BS. Now, what you do have... Right. Right here in Ohio, right in the heart of it all, Ohio. There's lots. You have the mound builder culture. You have like the Serpent Mound. You have these huge. They had these huge networks of these structures that were obviously made out of earth, but they're connected with all vast cosmic cycles, actually, and all different cycles of the earth and good stuff like that, and constellations. And then you have the giants, 8 foot, 10 foot tall people. These were found all over. Who came? The Smithsonian came and took them. They all disappeared. There were a few places where you could still find that, but there's a lot of stuff and technology that was hidden, that was in history, that things that didn't comport, didn't fit into this particular theory, the theory of evolution, this data was destroyed, right? Or hidden away, whether it's in the Vatican or in the Smithsonian or it's in an incinerator. But something like dinosaurs, I don't know. I've just seen a lot of these things were frauds. I'm not saying dinosaurs don't exist. I don't want someone to think
some people, I've heard some pretty credible people say the whole thing is fraud. The whole dinosaur story is just made up stuff. And some of these dinosaurs are made up of like one piece. And the next thing you know, they've got a brontosaurus. Like, this is what it looks like. Like, it's really, it's fantastical. Like, some of the stuff is really ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but this, So the theory of evolution and also Marxism, right? And of course they are melded together. They would not, one would not exist without the other. But what is provided by that? Well, first of all, there's an abdication of responsibility as a human being for having a human life, because you're just a bunch of chaos, random atoms that have come together. So what's the point of having a moral life? What's enjoy yourself, or nihilism, right? It creates nihilism. It creates the justification for scientific totalitarian dictatorships. It creates justification for wiping out, whether it's the Holodomor in Ukraine, whether it's the Spanish flu, which most likely was caused by the vaccination that they gave. And there's Arthur Furstenberg says it was caused by the radio, television types of, well, it was pre-television, but, you know, caused by electromagnetic pollution. But basically, if you can trace it directly, everybody who did not get this vaccine they're getting didn't get Spanish flu, right? So, and so that, how many people that killed? Millions. How many people died?
Yeah.
How many people died in World War One? Millions. Yeah. How many people died in World War Two? Millions. And
60, 70 million, something like that.
And how many people died in the Soviet Union? Hundreds. Oh, really hundred. Yeah. I mean, you go up to 120 million people.
It's incredible. So the numbers are off the charts. Yeah.
But how do you justify that? You justify that through this ideology. And the thing is that a big part of this is suspension of people's ability to really think and understand. And it provides this scientism, expertism. So again, just to think about it, like I said this, I think, last week, but if you take a watch apart and put all those watch pieces, is a watch going to assemble itself? If you take a Rolex apart, is that going to assemble itself? No. So this idea that we're just, and even the idea that humans are apes, right? So we're basically just animals. It removes the glory or the potentiality and the responsibility of being a higher order species. Oh, we're just monkeys. I can't control it. It's just my reptilian brain. So
that's the power of that ascent of man picture, the symbol. You're just some kind of thing in a swamp, and then you ascend through monkeys to man. So it takes away like the old biblical order. It's incredible. But that's very successful too. It led to millions of deaths, just like you said.
Yeah. And also though, it can lead to a type of people become pacified. They don't strive. And the other thing is that it's this mechanistic universe. And so within that mechanistic universe, man becomes God, right? Man, right. Adam Kadam, man becomes, ascends to the role of God, which is the goal of the alchemical in all these occultists, you know, is that we will usurp creation and we're going to make our own creation, which is why we have the Internet of Things, the Internet of Bodies, why we have 6G, which is where you become a bio cell in the network. It feeds off of you and you are wired into everyone else as part of this network. If 6G is, when I first saw that about 2020, I thought it was just some BS, but no, this is real. They want to implement this too. I mean, it's from Leary to whatever, it's the same agenda. And also this whole idea of you can just pop a pill, you take a drug and you'll become, you become a Buddha. You'll become Jesus, like Charles Manson, right? He became he thought he was a Messiah. Did he not? That they took this street hoodlum, made him into a Messiah through giving him LSD. But this is still based on this technocratic utopianism, which is the premise is false. It's artificial. And with even just the smallest amount of thought, show me any species that evolved. Now, is de-evolution possible? Absolutely. Can human beings degrade? And so technically, you may be hard pressed to actually call most Homo sapiens as human beings anymore because of the evolution. You can lose cognitive ability. You can lose athletic ability. You can lose empathy. You can lose higher qualities. You can lose literacy. Decline in literacy from the internet, from people not reading books. You lose so many cognitive abilities. So can we devolve? Absolutely. But
It's happened right in front of our eyes, Sean. It's happened in one generation.
Yeah.
Like, you used to have people talking about books and interesting things to going to TikTok videos. You know, it's incredible. It's incredible what they've done. And they've been tampering with the human, just like Brave New World. They've been poisoning and adjusting and fluoridating and shoot, you know, giving people shots. I mean, we're really closer to guinea pigs than humanity's ever been. And you have testosterone going down in men, which is really a defining element of humanity, really, the testosterone. So, yeah, you can definitely devolve.
There's no doubt about it. Yeah. All right. Well, great. So let's dive into the PowerPoint here.
All right, cool. Do you want to go to the next slide, or yep. are we at this moment?
So I can just go. I forget where we stopped.
You can do it too. You can move through the slides if you like. You should see the little white thing in Jiggers.
Okay. So we could just touch on a few of these things that are quite interesting. So information system theory, so global brain. One thing in the Soviet Union, another thing is literature, right? They were very, if you look at Dostoevsky, you look at Tolstoy, Pushkin, and all, you know, classical.
The composers. Greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Greatest literature of all time.
Absolute, you know, great intelligence and just amazing. That was sort of leading the way for humanity. But at the same time, science fiction is very important that came during the Soviet era. The science fiction that was, that was put out, and I think that Minsky video that you guys probably watched when you were doing something with Sean, that in that he talks about the importance of science fiction as the programming mechanism, right? 2001: A Space Odyssey, the obelisk, right? The obelisk, the apes. This is where you have
the monolith.
So global brain. So all this stuff, you know, came earlier, but I don't familiar with Cybersyn. But Cybersyn was a rollout, sort of a pre-rollout, it was an attempt to create, like, this was done in Chile before the coup in September 11th, 1970, actually.
You talked about that in one of our other, in the MK Ultra series, yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to bring up that,
I can find it. There it is. This is that weird.
Look at that. The Star Trek. Yeah, look at that. Oh my God. Look at that. The operations room. And
it's like out of 2001. It almost has, like, they decided, like, on this new, that whatever aesthetic style, right? It's crazy.
Yeah. So there was a lot of things, though, that were everything that's happening now was based upon what was attempted or rolled out in Cybersyn. And I think there may be look at that weird diagram, you know. Yeah. What you do see, though, even a lot of these cybernetic people, the beers or whatever, they use these occult types of symbolism and structures within a scientific context, right? So cybernetics is really this fusion of alchemical left-hand path types of things with science and technology. And so even in Cybersyn, you look at that weird tree over there, and whatever that thing on the left looks like, kind of a strange tree of life. But was it these chairs? I mean, it's real.
You should read some of these writings here. Join us now and share the software. You'll be free, hacker. You'll be free. Share the software. And so it's freedom is in this. Join us now with little buttons. Like I wish I could speak Spanish, but like implication batirias, implication vinilicos, photo batirias. I mean, it's just something else. Yeah.
Maybe they did have the technology to make it work, but you know, you have to remember that the computers, like my father, you know, he worked for Bell Laboratories. I was just like a little kid, got to go into these huge computer centers, which is these vast machines that, you know, these huge arrays of these things that had it, that your cell phone has more power than, you know, a $10 million computer installation did in the 60s and 70s, at least as far as we know. But
this is incredible. It's like the forward thinking of socialism. Capitalism had to squelch any kind of competitive things from the Soviet Union or anybody on those kind of socialistic left. They always did. And this was probably just done away after they greased Allende, September 11th, 1973, right? That's the first September 11th. But that's really something else. Yeah. I mean, this is so forward thinking. It's really, and it's a mix of two words, right? Cybernetics and synergy is what it says here. Which makes perfect sense.
Well, what's interesting, there used to be some videos that were, you know, done at the time, and I just looked it up, and there's a bunch of, I'm looking on YouTube, but what you see is, you know, how the CIA destroyed cybernetic socialism, the economic alternative killed by the CIA. Oh, well, wow. You know.
So there it is. That's a whole nother show. But yeah, that's the title of it. That's the title, Cyber-Socialism.
The will. Okay. Oh, this is interesting. So this is a Stafford Beer who was, he's one who he tied in. He was from elite background, you know, upper crust British stuff, you know, is this socialist. It was really funny, right? These people are from, you know, Lords of the Manor, and yet they're talking about socialism, right. but he had, he got into occultism. He got into all these other things, but he also was very practical engineering background. But he has, there's one thing he has, and it looks like sort of a weird Kabbalistic diagram or some kind of a yantra, you know, occult stuff, but it's a factory plan, but it's a factory where everyone lives in the factory and the workers that aren't needed, there's a method just to get rid of them and recycle their bodies. You know, this is the compassion of socialism. So I can just, this is.
So that's just saying that September 11, 1973, his effort to modernize the nation's economy with an advanced computer network is abandoned. So he's like another of these forward thinkers. They had to, that's why the whole space race was such a important element in the battle and the faked moon landing. I mean, it's all within the context of stuff like this. The Cold War, the battle between socialism and capitalism, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So there are some, the Stafford Beer, like, so he has the, he has stuff that will go into detail about it. Cybernetics and revolution. Well, how are you going to have, no, there is system theory, right? So but just so people, just to say a little bit about cybernetics, which I didn't mention, is that, so cybernetics was developed as a science of governance. It's a science of, right, of control. The word cyber, of course, cyberspace, all that comes from cybernetics, developed at the Macy conferences. You have 1942, the original conference, which is cerebral inhibition. And so the cerebral inhibition is what? It's hypnosis. It's the hypnotic state. And the thing is that you have a lot of connections from like the Whole Earth Catalog, Leary, all these guys were all also connected with it. So,
right.
Is that, oh, go ahead? Yeah, go on.
Someone's an alarm in my background. Sorry, Carl.
Okay. If you want to play some of the stuff about it, it'd be interesting. I found some very long 2-hour videos. There's Stafford Beer. See if we can listen to this guy. He was a big part of it.
I'd have to download it and then re upload it.
Okay.
For some reason, YouTube does not allow the audio to come through the front. Well, as long as I have something in my earpiece. So I'd have to repeat. We'll do it on the next show. I'll download some of the stuff. We'll listen to it.
Okay. Yeah. So, but anyway, so this is a huge, you know, this is a whole nother topic and I don't want to go too much into that, but you know, just to also show that, so you have the CIA coup, but then of course they installed a dictatorship, but many people think and believe that this was the CIA took away this amazing opportunity. Well, we're moving towards that CyberSyn model, social credit. There's your CyberSyn, total control of everything, everywhere you go. China, you want to see, is that, you want to live under that?
No.
Total lack of freedom.
Who would want to? Honestly, like, I mean, imagine the controls behind it. It's like the controls behind the AI. You think that you're going to get some kind of benevolent hand in between this technology? I mean, behind the technology and you, there's no way. It's like the Wizard of Oz. Like, yeah, it's a human being behind the curtain. You don't want this. You don't want some corrupt person who's power hungry to make those decisions. It's crazy.
Yeah, but one thing that, you know, understand, you look at, you know, like, look at Mao's, I mean, like, China, right? You know, Mao, I mean, Mao was not, or Pol Pot in Cambodia. Pol Pot, you know, that's his name is not a Cambodian name. You know what his name is? He's hanging out in Paris with all the socialist elites, and they said he had political potential. So that just became his name. And
it was like Pol Pot is short for political something. His real name was like Suvarang Savaranoth or something like that.
Political potential. It means that he was marked that we could use this guy, like Saddam Hussein was. Like,
AOC was farmed. You know, they farmed for her. Salah Sar was his name, real name, given name. AOC was like she. There was some kind of call for.
I believe like she was like an actress or something, right? Or she waitress. Yeah. Like these elites, I mean, there are, you know, good senators and this and that, you know, people that really read this stuff. Remember Byrd from West Virginia, right? Even though he maybe has, that guy was a real intellect, you know, during like the Iraq War, would really read. There are people out there, but the thing is that the administrative state can actually make laws and implement and enforce laws, right? So this is how all this stuff has happened. And so you have these two counter poles, but both poles are leading to the same destination. It's like the eagle looks like you have two opposing directions, but it's all the same unit. But again, how many people know that are within these systems? Not so many, except for those at the top. But you have these morons, and sorry to say morons, but yeah, I mean, like AOC, like she is really dumb, man.
Yeah, she's not very
dumb. She has a fair. Could you imagine being like trapped in a desert island with her? Wow, that would be bad.
No, it's not good. A lot of these, and I think that's not uncommon, unfortunately, in a lot of these political parties. They just find somebody as a front and then they install them, and then they kind of do the bidding of the person who installed them. So I think that's a lot of these prosecutors and DAs, actually, the Soros ones. Like, they're not smart. This Lanny Day girl, whatever, Fanny from Georgia, she is an idiot. I mean, she's a literal, like, almost, like, she's a two-digit IQ, which, you know, it's sad. You don't make fun of people like that. But
is she really two-digit IQ, right?
I can just tell. You should see her, like, papers, like, her prosecutorial complaints and stuff are like written by, I could get a ninth grader to write a better document. It's like the language is at a ninth grade level. It's sad.
Well, just the stupidity of literally having an affair with a guy, not thinking that, oh, your cell phone's going to track your location. And you're coming at 11 PM, leaving at 4:30 in the morning. What are you doing? What are you guys doing? Working on work projects, you know,
it's just crazy. I mean, they're above the law, so they know they can get away with it. That's really what it is.
There's a lot of complexity and nuance to, you know, to really understand how this stuff unfolded, but we can look at like the whole transgender stuff. Like, this idea, so this goes into the next level from the scientism, is that everything is simply whatever you think it is. What we decide reality is reality. So there is, so if I think I'm a woman, I'm a woman. And then, so.
But it's man is God, right? It's like Gnosticism. It's just like you said earlier. Like, we don't question it. You can just be a woman now. Like, even though your biological traits are male, you're a woman. It's so strange.
Well, and there's no more. There is no more objective reality. Objective reality is gone, right? There is no objectivity. There is simply the reality is what is being imposed and what is being decided upon by those that are our masters, whether it's using the language, you know, it's a dictatorship, or whether it's, you know, we for the people, socialism. Now, socialism as an idea, the thing is that, like, say, social credit. What was social credit? Originally, it was a system. It's an economic system that was developed in the United States around the turn of the end of the night, you know, 1890s-ish. And so social credit, every country that implemented that immediately has massive prosperity. And like Germany, what everyone would say about, you know, Nazi Germany, the fact is that they implemented this social credit system where the labor creates the currency. The currency is created by the value you input. Libya, same thing. Other countries, any country that's implemented this, number one, they immediately get out of debt. They have tremendous economic prosperity, and they're destroyed. You know,
then they have to be destroyed. It's too prosperous, right?
Yeah. 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 So that happened. Like, I mean, if you look at like Gaddafi, it was actually, that was what I, you know, was not really that proud to say. I was like, kind of, I thought communism seemed like a great thing. Oh, it's really good. You know, when I was like college or whatever, but it was that the bombing of Libya, I was like, man, this is, how can you trust any of these clowns? There's no, they're bringing democracy. They just, you know, they wiped that country out. And, but yet people are still in this mythos that there's some compassion that they have. No, there's no compassion. You know, in fact, they're worse, because at least when you have your, you know, your dictator rolling over you with a tank or something, you see it in your face. This is done subtly, but okay, I'm going on a rant.
But Libya is a perfect example. It's very similar to Chile, actually. They cannot have these people have any advancement or success in the whole kind of neo-imperial world order. In Libya, like the kind of, it was a very calm society, and Gaddafi, whatever you pronounce his last name, he like gave people money for college, houses, everybody was housed. There's no debt. He had oil money. He was, he was a dictator, but they couldn't allow any kind of examples of prosperity. And so he's one of the seven they have to get rid of, right? So they're just killing all those countries. Syria, Iraq, Lebanon's pretty much a mess. Libya, I forgot who's next. Oh, Iran is probably the next target to be targeted.
But it was, so the social credit economic system. So it's, of course, we don't need this whole thing, you know, with I'm sure you're familiar with Federal Reserve debt, you know, money as debt. So perpetual debt, right? We are literally in debt. We are collateral. In fact, in this, you know, don't try this at home. There's people, you can, you know, find your social security number on the stock exchange. People try to cash out and get, you know, that's kind of like the sovereign citizen thing. That's not going to take you real far. You know, it'll take you to a jail cell pretty quickly. But the thing is that we are literally debt. We are we are living batteries to have our resources extracted, and everything is based on this perpetual debt, which requires perpetual growth, which requires overdevelopment of technology, over extraction of resources. You don't need to have continual growth, but within this debt-based economic system, you know, with the Federal Reserve, et cetera, you always have to keep growing and growing and growing, right? Because you're always in debt. Now, this did push a lot of development of technology, right? Innovation, because the debt cycle, but the social credit, which is, you know, the original, that economic concept is very simple. But if you do that, your currency, again, what the productive work, the creative work, this is what generates the currency. This immediately, this creates immediate prosperity. and changes the entire system. It's much simpler to do than these complex financial instruments and all this other crap that we have, you know, now. But anyways, but then look at the terminology. Social credit is what? Social credit is a total control grid. That we have a social credit system. And I was on a show, I won't mention the guy's name, but it was with, you know, it was a one of these, you know, types of shows. And the guy was talking about how they have, they're setting up these, you know, communal intentional communities, but they have their own crypto digital currency and they have their own social credit system. And I was like, dude, why do you need a social credit system? Oh, this makes people behave, whatever. No, social credit means that who decides what social credit? Social credit is the total control grid. You have no longer have any freedom. If you don't trust someone to be able to operate on a moral basis, it's living in your intentional community, and you're going to use a social credit system. So this is an example of something you can look for, things like this. This is a way out. This is, oh, we have the building these intentional communities. We're taking our freedom back. Well, if you have a cryptocurrency and you have social credit system that everyone has to have an app on their phone, how is this not just a little like a cyber sin pre rollout? Right? This is a little rollout of what they're going to have for the whole planet.
Right.
Oh, wow. Could you get this guy on?
Yeah, I should get this guy on. I was just going to write that. We should talk about it. I was just sending it to him. Tolkien's here. He studied cybernetics with Norbert Wiener at MIT. Like, that's incredible.
I would love to. Gotten Gollum.
Yeah, that, send me an email.
We could maybe, if he wants to, maybe get him on the show.
Yeah, the next one. That'd be good.
No, well, yeah. Norbert Wiener, of course, is the so you have like the Kinsey Report and you have Norbert Wiener's book on cybernetics. They were both put out around the same time. Both were immensely popular and successful. So basically cybernetics, just in a very simplified thing, is it's based on governance. Governance meaning it's based on the principle of control. You can look at it was originally used for missiles, guided missile systems, which is what Wiener worked on. And one thing that's very important around the same time too, you have the positive thinking movement. Well, actually in the cybernetic system, positive feedback puts you in a cybernetic loop. It's the negative feedback that corrects the course. So positive and negative, what they mean within cybernetics and how they operate are quite different. I don't want to go too far afield on this, but very interesting guy. In the way, again, this was pushed around the same time that the Kinsey Report came out. What did the Kinsey Report do? The Kinsey Report is that was a using a quote unquote scientific method to absolutely change society, yeah, right? With all this fraudulent data. And
Kinsey to Hefner to total social chaos, like broken marriages, no sexual restraint. Just, I mean, craziness. It's really, I mean, something we're used to it now, but like, it wasn't always this way. This American family kind of sitcom and stuff.
Yeah. But we'll get into some more advances when we, towards the end of the series, I'll show you some new things coming out of Russia that are taking some of these cybernetic concepts and applying them, but in a way I think that it is beneficial. But one of the things, you have signal noise ratio, right? You have communication, information, all these things are very central. And what you also have along with this is you have a lot of the research in neuroscience, endocrinology, all these other things, where the real understandings that we're come to suddenly become submerged. It's kind of like planned obsolescence. You can look at the literature, up to a certain time, and you can read about in the public literature about planned obsolescence. As soon as it's fully implemented, it disappears, right? Yeah, but the endocrine system, you have, you know, like attachment theory, all these different things that have been completely very simple ways to understand how the mind and body works. But these become submerged, right? So you're trying to correct a psychological problem and you're working at the wrong system. So what happens? You can be put into a cybernetic loop. You can have a, it's a feedback loop, right? It creates, it's a system where the energy, the resonance of that system keeps building in itself. So if, for example, if you have you know, an emotional, you quote unquote, you're depressed. Well, A, what does that mean? But the problem may be glandular. Okay. It may be that you have some imbalance in your hormonal system, but you take it as a psychology problem and you just talk about it. You identify yourself as, oh, I'm depressed. You start taking SSRI, you start taking Prozac, and you're putting fluoride in your brain, right? You know, and you never go, the real issue could be maybe solved very quickly, but it's put in the wrong field. So anyways, communication theory, there's so much that it's very important for this. But you can look at his book, God and Gollum, is very, very interesting. That's, you know, that's part of it. So anyways.
Right. No, it's interesting. Yeah. This guy Tolkien is on the point of steersman, right? It's the same thing. Cybernetics are steersman. Yeah. He decided to call the entire field of control and communication theory, whether in the machine or in the animal, by the name cybernetics, which we form from the Greek. I don't know what that is in Greek, but steersman in Greek. So.
Yeah. But again, so it expanded to control every process. So everything from, as in Cybersyn, economic processes, to social processes, to material processes, to nature, what we're having now, right? You have the, some of the initiatives to quantify pollination, to quantify natural processes, and then you have these huge land grabs from that, right? But all the way to the human biology, the whole thing of, you know, injecting nano particulates that will sort of fuse you with the machine. This is straight out of that, right? So it's a control grid that goes from the largest possible systems, whether they're weather systems, whether they're planetary systems, to the individual cell operation within the human. Human body. And it's, but it's also kind of all integrated within this. So we can move on.
Do you want to go back to the slides? Because this is, says right here, this guy's influenced these two people in your slides, Margaret Mead and Bateson, who you mentioned Bateson all the time. And here he is.
Schismogenesis, the creation of a schizophrenia. And just as a, an aside real quick. So you have his actual, Bateson is one of these people, as Mead, Margaret Mead, didn't, her writing output, she's.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
She had sort of a fraudulent anthropology dissertation, but the whole thing was her theory, just like the Kinsey Report. Once you put that idea out in the brain, so it's about these, the islanders, you know, they have this like free love culture, they do this, that. It was totally fraudulent. Okay. Wow. But the thing was that this became in the public consciousness, right? That, oh, so, you know, and this ties, she, that ties into the 1960s. This helped set up all the ethos of the 1960s. And so Bateson, I've got a bunch of, you know, I've got all the lectures you can find. You listen to him talk. He doesn't really, it's all encoded, right? So Mead was very, very, very important, but a lot of her stuff was done behind the scenes, underground, right? It was done. So what we see on the surface is her anthropology work. You can scroll through that and see, go through that.
Right. So a lot of her anthropology work has been discounted. Is that right?
Yeah.
She's in coming of age in Samoa.
So yeah, it's a sort of a homage to free love, destruction of authority, but it was, so let's play that.
Trance and dance in Bali. Wow. This is awesome. Trance and hip.
all this was implemented, right? You know, you could tie this, oh, just an aside, you have Alan Lomax, right? Alan Lomax, very important. He developed this encoding system of looking at all the different aspects of music and looking at the social structure and configuration, all these levels, and it's totally correlated. So you could actually implement, so he did it's called Cantometrics, but basically they studied a lot of these things, and these things were brought to the, were implemented. Some of these cultural systems were brought and implemented on the West once they understood how this stuff worked. Yeah. So,
cause I know that West studied a lot of this trance stuff in Bali. So there must've been something in the Indonesian culture or the Balinese culture that really interested these people like Bates and Mead and Jolly West. It's incredible.
Yeah, and so Mead, you know, Bateson, you know, she was how do you say it?
Supported through the 33 degree scholarship. I'm sorry.
But go ahead and play that.
I'll have to download this for the next show. We can analyze this. But yeah, just let me go back. Where is this? It really says that.
Wait, just stop for a second. So okay. Dementia, can you just pause it?
Yeah.
So dementia praecox. So because that's actually, I have not seen this clip. I just want to see what that is. Dementia praecox. So is that dementia? Oh, can you go just a little bit before that? See what that is.
Sure.
Dementia
praecox. PRAECOX. Committee for Research in Dementia Praecox, which I don't have
any. Committee for Research. So that sounds a bit, that doesn't sound necessarily like a scientific organization. It sounds more like a policy. You know, it's a committee. Sure. Yeah. So Dementia Praecox, I'm going to see what that, Dementia Praecox, manic depressive psychosis.
Oh, wow.
Schizophrenia. Dementia Praecox, meaning a premature dementia. It is a disused psychiatric. So some of these things are very important, right? All the languages change. You have bipolar, you have, right, multiple personality, you have, you know, dissociative identity. You know, right. But dementia praecox, this is from Wikipedia, but meaning a precocious madness, which means like, which like means getting dementia, like senior dementia when you're 20. Or something, right. is a disused psychiatric diagnosis that originally designated a chronic deteriorating psychotic disorder characterized by rapid cognitive disintegration, usually beginning in late teens and early adulthood. Over the years, the term dementia praecox was gradually replaced by the term schizophrenia.
Oh, wow. So this is so old, it's got the old terminology.
Well, this is where you find out. Check this out. Look, there's so many connections with, that's why I wanted to stop you there. Guess what also connects with autism spectrum, autism, induction of autism, right? You've got your robot slave class in the autism. But this is really, this is fascinating because committee. So this is why, so just think about it real quick. They're doing, this is a anthropology documentary. This is like you, it should be a research about culture, music. So how is it funded by the Committee for Research in Dementia Praecox? Again, and let me just look through. So Arnold Pick, this connects also. Oh, hebephrenia. Okay, it's connected with hebephrenia. So it was a German psychiatrist, Emil Kraepelin. So schizophrenia, this is manic depressive psychosis. But I want to look at this dementia is an ancient term used since the time of Lucretius in 50 BC, means being out of one's mind, state of cognitive and behavioral deterioration leading to psychosocial incompetence. Is that not what happened to all the people taking LSD? Or not all of them, a lot of them, right?
Good so point, yeah.
Okay,
a lot of them went crazy. I knew people who dropped out of society, like they dropped out of human social organization. Yeah. I mean, you could say all the deadheads in a way have done that, right? Like this, the drugs turned them into their own social unit in a way, right? Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah. And so what I want to say, you know, just to what I sort of alluded to a little bit is, so within, when you have, we are not mechanistic. I think even a lot of this stuff, we are not just brains, right? But of course, it's all the biology is very valuable to understand, but this is a reductionist approach. But a lot of this stuff, the real research and knowledge has been submerged, as I mentioned in the beginning, but there's so many problems and issues, even by television. Television itself induces a type of alpha rhythm. It does. You have your beta brainwaves are inverted. Instead of being aware of the world, you're aware of your imaginary projections. We have to look up that. So there's a lot.
This is incredible. Filmed in the 1930s. So this is like you're going back to Estabrook's time, right?
Eugenics.
Estabrook's.
Oh, so this also, it's connected with the National Committee on Mental Hygiene and the Eugenics Records Office.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Can you just play the intro,
right?
Yeah, I just want to see. So that, okay, supported through 33rd degrees.
North Masonic, it's Cambridge, right?
Okay, so
Vassar College.
American Museum of Natural History. We talked about evolution, right?
Right.
Department of Child Study, Vassar College. So why are these groups, you don't see, these are policy making, or they're scientific, but they're not necessarily, they're not directly, what does the 33rd degree Mason Scottish Rite have to do with this anthropology documentary?
Right.
So this is a pretty cool.
Yeah. They're studying this to apply it. They're not studying it as like a true objective anthropologist. They're trying to figure out how to get people into trance states and what's going on. They're simulating. How much different are these dancers from those people just dancing for hours at a freaking deadhead show? Are they the Western version of these types of people putting them in trance? Aren't they going into a trance at the Fish concert or deadhead or whatever, you know, or even a modern rave? How much different is a rave or to a deadhead, to one of these people in Bali?
Well, this is where, which you can look at, and some of these things are difficult to find, but you can look at how, like a lot of the understanding of how to implement music as a force of cultural change. Maybe just pause it. We can go through that. But so when you see that this was understood and known about a long time ago. I mean, you go back to Plato, you go back to ancient China, but the fact is that they researched. So within the context of Bali, right? So Bali, you have this religious culture, you have a very integrated social system. People are living very close to nature. But you extract the form and then you transplant it. They're using how to create these types of states, but not, it's stripped out of its, if of its, if it's like, you know, extracting a resource almost, it's stripped out of its traditional context and then it's being applied. So why are they looking? So technically, like the trance and stuff like that, in this case, this was, you know, it is part of, it's been there for thousands of years, right? In their cultural system. And they have, if you, I don't know about now, but you know, actually much more social cohesion, much, much greater degree of happiness within the society than you had in the West, right? You don't have all this, you know, people know their place. They're, you know, they have a very organic, connected, close-knit community. So the trance stuff is not socially destructive in Bali, but it's being extracted and turned into something that's absolutely social destructive in the West. Yeah. And this also relates to certain types of rhythms that were used in Vudan, that were used in Santeria, that were used in to summon different types of demonic entities into the bodies of of these different cults, right? You know, you can look at West Africa or whatever. Some of these
isn't voodoo the same thing, the dancing and the trance state?
Well,
I mean, it's all there.
Like even like that, some of these rhythms, the downbeat, some of that rock rhythms, these were taken from certain types of rhythms that were used as in trance possession rituals, and especially some of these actually. So even the voodoo, this is all coming actually initially from Africa, right? But right. You're taking, just as I mentioned, you're extracting, you're taking a rhythm that. I mean, that book I wrote on this, but it was a different context, but these specific rhythms, they actually have almost, you could describe as magical properties in that they will affect the human bio organism. They'll affect the brain, but they also potentially, and I think actually can open up sort of portals. Right, they're opening up a channel for this type of energetic formation to come in. So you have a popular music, you've got like a rock beat, doo, da, doo, and I said that beat, but you have beats that were used to summon types of demonic entities, and these are these become part of popular music. This is awesome to see this. So what does it say there? So trance occurs in Bali's in many different forms. You can't make that full screen, can you?
Let me try. Let's see. But it is that full screen?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Trance is kind of synonymous with hypnosis. That's the whole interesting thing. I mean, I think that trance is a form of hypnosis, but let's see if we go through this.
So Chris is against their breasts without injuring themselves. This religious practice, dramatic theme. So I don't know what a Chris is.
It's like a special kind of knife. It's like,
they're cutting themselves.
Yeah, they're cutting themselves. Yeah.
The conflict between the witch and the dragon.
Story. Wow. Pago Iton, 1937-1939.
33rd degree Scottish Rite. The witch
sets forth her disciples to spread plague. The villagers wander the roads trying to escape the plague. There's a struggle between the witch in masked supernatural form and the emissary of the king who fails to kill her and is transformed into a dragon. The followers of the dragon are thrown into deep trance by the witch. Wow, total occult. Revived by the dragon into a somnambulistic state and turn their kisses violently against themselves. The performance ends with ceremonies for bringing the actors out of trance. Wow! So they're making hypnotism and then out of it. The play begins outside the temple to the music of an orchestra. So
maybe
this is incredible, dude. I have to download this. Like for people studying kind of MK Ultra behavioral modification, this is incredible because it's also inducing psychological states through music, but it's also a drama, right? So all the kids are watching it. And getting all these archetypes, right? The dragon, the witch, the king, the servants.
Absolutely. And then you can start to see some of these forms, how they're coming into popular cultural forms, popular music, television shows. You know, it's...
They've got all the, what do they call those? Mudras? Aren't those mudras?
Yeah, those are mudras, yeah. And so, and the Balinese music is quite interesting. So they have their own types of scales, different intervals, but it's this cyclical layered stuff. And the music itself is very, very trance-inducing. So maybe go further ahead.
Yeah, it's almost like Indian. It has an Indian inflection or something. So there she's dead. Wow, this is crazy. It's incredible. It's incredible stuff. Let me get out of here. Hold on. Anyway, somebody just give me.
Look at that. Wow, this gets actually pretty crazy. Whoa.
This is totally.
So crazy. These people are all possessed too, you know. So they're possessed. They're in trance. They're not just acting. Right. I mean, wow. This is pretty wild.
Super powerful. I'm just glad somebody recorded this. It's really something else. Wow.
Probably when I've actually had, you know what it reminds me of is what the Snuffleupagus.
Yeah, a little bit. Huh?
Sesame Street. Sesame Street. I wonder if they... Okay.
Wow, no doubt it. That would be wild if they tried to integrate that, because it looks like it. It reminds me of kind of a Chinese dragon ceremony too.
Yeah,
I think it was a little bit of which I've seen.
Maybe just go to the end where they cut themselves. Yeah, oh, because when they're in trance, it is pretty freaky to see them, right?
Wow. So this is really intense. Yeah.
This is.
Oh man, sorry.
So.
Nudity, is that a drug or is that just incense? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did they do they use psychedelics in Bali? I don't know.
I'm not aware of that, but the thing is that, I mean, they do, I mean, there's things, and I witnessed this in some of my research too, in you know, in the Himalayas or whatever. So you get in these trance states. I mean, you can do things that, you know, you dip your hand in boiling molten metal and you don't get injured. Right. So there's things that happen, but anyway, the research on Bali and then her coming of age in Samoa is basically a free homage to, you know, it's basically the Kinsey report scientifically, you know, that helped create the justification for the whole Kinsey stuff, Playboy, all that stuff. So she's a precursor for that. Right. And then cultural relativism and you know, whatever. But a lot of her work was behind the scenes, just as Bateson's is. But Bateson was, you know, you have also Ericksonian and hypnosis. And these are
in that same thing. Erickson is in the Macy conferences. He's all over there. And Erickson's all NLP too. So what they were studying goes way back, even before MK Ultra. It's way, this is 37 to 39. They probably got integrated into it, but they're doing the research in the 30s.
Well, you know, and I can't find anything on that. So just even though that dementia praecox, schizophrenia, so schismogenesis, right? And then you go fast forward to Artie Lang, right? Insanity is actually sanity. We live in an insane society. Schizophrenia is actually, and creativity comes from schizophrenia, right? Induction. And of course the original name of hallucinogens were what? Schismogens, something like
schismogen,
that.
Schismogen, wow.
Yeah, so they
change it to psychedelic. Yeah,
psychedelic, then entheogens.
So that's even a better term.
To bring you to God, right? Entheo, right. So that means...
hold on, don't come over here. Hold on. I gotta run. I got some people over. It's a great place to stop because we can pick up next time with trance and dance in Bali and watch this with music. And I'm curious about your take on this, listening to the sounds, you know what I mean? Because I bet they change up and mix up and there's different statements in this. I would love to see this translated too, see what they're actually saying.
Well, I'm interested in this committee. Because, and the one thing I'll say though, and I don't want to, I wonder,
and we'll talk to this guy, we'll get Tolkien study we could have a couple extra good episodes. But I wish I didn't have to go, but I think it's a good time for me.
All right, William. Well, hey, I'm glad we hit it.
Yeah, and, Hans, next time, let's do it soon. I'll download this and I'll get in touch with Tolkien and we'll try to get a show on Norbert.
We could probably pretty good. So probably next week probably work for me.
Yeah, let's try for next week as soon as possible. Really, I'm open almost now all next week, so I'll work around your schedule. Just today is not really that great of a day for me.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah,
all right, man.
All right, see you later, William.
Yeah, take care, man. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Yep.
Bye. Okay, I'm done.